Well, good morning.
Good morning.
We are officially into 2018 this Sunday.
Woo-hoo.
Yeah, that's right. We're here. And we're excited that you're here. And at the beginning of each new year, it just seems as if there's so many new opportunities. And the possibilities for the year seem like they're endless, right? Time presses on at a constant pace. But before we know it, even if we're not ready for things to happen, there's a schedule creation seems to follow. The shoots from the flowers will be poking through the soil before we think it's time, before the ground even seems like it's ready. There will be buds on the trees preparing for flowers and leaves there. And the warm air will once again invade our region. Yes, that's what I figured out here this morning. A little bit of cheering, because for some of us, that is our greatest desire this morning. I knew that would happen, yes. So with every new year, we seem to approach it with great optimism and hope. No one walks into a new year anticipating the year will be riddled with challenges, right? But the reality is, and not to be a downer on this first week of the year, 2018 is going to have some challenges. It is. And some of you may already be in the midst of them, and we're only 7 days in. Some of you have just walked through some. You just walked out, and you're on the other side. Some of you don't know it yet, but you're heading for them. There are seasons in life, and I would submit that there are seasons in each year where we walk through valleys. Today is an introductory message for our series, Through the Valley. In this series, we'll be back in the book of John, and we'll be unpacking this concept of going through the valley. How Jesus and those around him responded to the challenges the valley presented for them. When faced with the valley, we're often unsure of the route to take. And this makes us take pause and consider, which way do I go? Which is the title of today's message. Too often in life, we wander about wondering if we're on the right path. Think about that. Too often in life, we wander around wondering if we're on the right path. We're just kind of in this stupor. It's like trying to follow a GPS, but not really. Right? Like, we know how to get there. When the voice from the box tells us to turn, we ignore it because we think we know a better route. Too many times, I personally have been in this situation. In fact, just this week, the GPS told me to go a certain way, and I thought I knew better. The way it wanted to direct me, would have been far quicker than the way that Ron chose. But sometimes I get frustrated with the GPS. Maybe you do too, because the GPS can be confusing because it doesn't seem to communicate the proper directions. It'll say turn in 300 feet, and then you're like, 300 feet where? There's no turn. And then there's some people who follow them, they get so dependent on them that they turn on just because it says turn, and people have turned right into buildings in 300 feet. Yeah. And we just get so dependent on it because we listen to this voice and we don't look at the screen, or we look at the screen and don't listen to the voice. And so we choose. And then what happens is we end up taking a detour. We end up going the wrong direction. And walking with God is like this. God wants us to follow his instructions, but sometimes we think we know a better way. Sometimes we think we've got to figure it out. We know a way that is quicker or less painful. Instead of following through on what God's communicated, we choose to take another path. Now, we'll witness this over and over in this series. We may get to the destination, and it may look less painful or quicker when we make the decision, but the reality is, who knows better than our Maker what is best for us? And God tells us this over and over and over and over again in his Word, in his message to us. You know, the 23rd Psalm is often quoted at funerals. But this psalm is not about death. It's really about living. About knowing that in the valley, God does not leave us or forsake us. In fact, he guides us and directs us. And if we need to be carried, he will even pick us up and carry us through the valley if the burden is too much. He brings things to life that were once weary and tired. And many of us could quote from memory the 23rd Psalm. Let's listen to these words just found in the third verse and let them soak into our soul this morning. Psalm 23:3. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path, the right paths for his name's sake. Now, it's easy to grow weary, especially if we keep choosing our ways instead of his. But this psalm reminds us we do not have to remain weary. He's there. He's waiting, even in the valley, to bring refreshment, renewal to our souls. The only way to remain refreshed, though, is to know that he's there in the trial, in the valley, and he wants to guide us along the right path. Most of the time, when we arrive at our destination, we don't get out of the vehicle, lift up the GPS into the sky, and proclaim how great it was and what a tremendous job it did. Right? Well, maybe some of you do. I don't know. But think about life. When a person lives with God as their GPS, what is communicated at their funeral is how good, how great God was in this person's life. And then he receives the glory for it. I've been at funerals where people go, praise God, and they start clapping because of the life the person lived following the precepts God set for them. And this glory has a purpose. It's meant to point those who hear the testimony in that funeral to God. It's meant to show that God was working in someone's life and their life was transformed, changed through that. And maybe when they hear those words, that encourages them to take a step towards God and let him lead them as well, so that the same thing can happen in their lives. The hardest funeral to attend is one where a person is selfish, living only for themselves, choosing to live life to achieve selfish ambition, because in the end, what is left behind? Usually broken pieces of the people who are not loved well by that person. What's there to celebrate? What's there to lift up? What's there to proclaim? Selfish people do not love well because they can't take their eyes off themselves long enough to love anyone else. That's just true. But those who love well, now think about this, those who love well are remembered long after they are gone. In order to live and love as God instructs, we as his people need to cry out to him, no matter where we are in the journey, on the easy road or on the tough one, and ask him, as the psalmist did, to show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Notice the psalmist doesn't say, lead me to your paths, but teach me. There's a key word there. How many of us have followed someone to a destination? You're kind of driving along and you just follow them to a destination, right? Then one day you have to get back there on your own. It's much harder. In fact, sometimes impossible and certainly frustrating trying to get there because you were following the turns in front of the person in front of you versus making the turns yourself. You weren't taught, you were just being led. But the converse is true. Because if someone teaches us, it's repetitive. Think about when you're in school or when you were in school. How many times do you hear the same concept over and over and over again? See, what we teach even here on every week doesn't get old because it's repetitive. It reminds us of the character and the nature of God. It leads us towards him. It doesn't push us away. After following directions or instructions a few times, look, it's more likely that we'll be able to get to a destination without receiving additional help or information. But there are challenges we will certainly face. There are times when we think we know where we are going. We've been there a million times before, and we have the route mapped out in our mind. We have that route already pre-planned. We know exactly how we're going to go. We know the roads we're going to take. We know the turns that we're going to take, and we're going to get there. We know how long it's going to take to get there. And it's almost like second nature to arrive there because we don't have to really think about it too much because we've already been there, and we just know where we're going. But then something happens. An obstacle gets in the way. a person with less skill driving, that's the best way I could say that, bumps into another and everyone has to stop to see what happened. Or some official thought that it would be great to begin construction during the heaviest time of traffic there is, and already gnarling and already challenging commute. I'm being nice. Or best yet, when the road is entirely detoured and shut down. And once we make that first turn, we're at the mercy of the driver in front of us or the detour signs that someone may or may not have set up. Okay? Do you hear what I'm saying? I think you've been there. And I think you can relate. Life can be like this too. It really can. People, things, situations like to redirect us. They like to reroute us. They like to take us off of God's path, the one that He's intended for us. This is why we need to call out to God, not one time. He said, teach me, not lead me. Not one time, but continue. Look at Psalm 27:11. Teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Think about it this way. If we studied a map of an area, even memorized all the streets and the destinations on it, how hard would it be to overcome any obstacle that arose in our path? Be much easier, wouldn't it? Because we'd have other detours already thought about. We'd already have different ways we could go. We know this street leads to this street, and therefore we can get to that destination by that way. People, situations, things in the hands of the enemy can lead us astray. But if we remain in the will of the Father, asking Him to guide us, giving our lives fully to Him, desiring to follow the way He has, what do we think the outcome of the journey is going to be? It's going to be entirely different. Yeah, we're going to face an obstacle, but we're going to get around it. It's not going to be as windy. It's going to be more straight. There's going to be less bumps. And when we do have an obstacle, they're going to be more beneficial because they're meant to grow us. Because it's not to say that we won't face challenges or difficulties, because we will. But instead of them stopping us in our tracks, we'll be able to move through them and not get stuck, not fall into depression or temptation. God has given us that map to study and to know His ways as we navigate through this life. It's His Word. Psalm 119, 105, your word is a lamp for my feet, a light to my path, or on my path. When things seem at their worst, it's like walking in the darkest place. You're unsure of your next step. We don't even need to see the light at the end of the tunnel. But we do need to see each step we're taking, trusting God, has an outcome in store. Think about that. You don't need to see the end of the journey. You don't need to see the light at the end of the tunnel, but you do need to see where your next step is going to be. You need to see where you're going to take that next step. God's got the path laid out. You just got to trust what's in front of you right then and there. And in so doing, if we follow Him, we'll arrive at the destination. And the path is revealed. Not in our will, but in His will as He leads us in each step that we take. His word will not leave us in a dark and lonely place. He's left us a map, a guide, an encouragement to help us along the way. No matter what we face, we can take the next step. No matter what we face, we can take the next step. We have to remember, this is not sitting around waiting for something to happen or by listening to the world and those who we give the most influence over in our lives. Who has influence in your life? Who are you listening to? Is it talk show hosts? Is it comedians? Is it peers living for worldly pleasures? Is it the media? Is it Hollywood? Or even the messages we let enter our minds through the music and videos we hear and watch. No, we have to step away from that. We have to step into the things that transform us, that change us. We have to diligently seek God in everything. In everything. Diligently seek Him. Look at Proverbs 3:6. He says, in all your ways submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight. Not windy, not on the bumpy road, not over here, not there, but straight. But you got to do your part. What's it say? In all your ways. That's not up to God. That's up to you. That's up to you as a disciple, as a follower of Christ, to look to Him in the decisions that you make. Your ways. Now notice this wise guy Solomon doesn't say, in some of your ways, or a few of your ways. He says, underline that, all of your ways. All. That should be, I wish you to capitalize that when he wrote it. All of your ways. And when we do, that's when our paths will be straight. Some of us have faced difficulties because we haven't submitted to God in all of our ways. I'm sure if your head's not nodding, it's inside thinking. There's things, when I've faced the difficulty, it's because I didn't submit my way before I went there. Consider this. Who in history lived out the word of God as it is written without being tainted from people's opinions and influence from this world that we could look at and say, they're crazy. Look at the mess their life has become because God loved and directed them. No, you're sitting there going, no one, because there is no one. There is no one in history. No one in history who has lived out God's word without it being tainted. You have to qualify that. Without it being tainted, that we would consider as crazy. In fact, I would submit that it's the exact opposite. Those who have lived out God's word to the fullest, we exalt to the highest places. We look up to them. We're enamored by them. We want to be like them. Do you know that potential is within each of us? Don't think that you're a nobody, because you're a somebody. You're God's somebody, and He wants to use you. Don't sit in a seat and go, oh, I'm just in a little church in a little place in Reisterstown, Maryland, and it doesn't matter. It does matter. And whether you're in a big arena with thousands of people, or you're in a church with 15, God wants to use you. He's got a plan for you, and you are not done. He will lift you up when you lift Him up. I promise you that. It might not be in the time that we want, but it's going to happen. And in order to do this, we've got to take steps in the right direction. If we sit around or are lethargic in our response to God, we're going to face obstacles and thorns, more likely. Here's how Solomon describes it in Proverbs 15:19. He says, the way of the sluggard is blocked with thorns, but the path of the upright is a highway. Now, I don't know about you. How many of you guys want to travel a long distance on the back roads? Okay, so some of you like the windy roads. Some of you like the logs that fall across the road or the deer that jumps out. Oh, now we're changing a little bit. But if you've got a place to go, if you've got a place to be, you're not going to pick the back road. You're not going to pick the slow route. If you want to get there, you want to pick the fastest way to get there. And so what we need to do is, we don't want things in our way. Look, you're more likely to run into an accident on a two-lane road than you are a four-lane road. Because if you hit an accident on a two-lane road, you're stopped dead. At least on a four-lane road, if you hit an accident, there's a way around it usually. An exit to jump off or a lane to get around. Sometimes the people that just don't do anything are the ones that just get stuck, that wait for something to happen. We need to live a life that's upright, a life that's, get the word, righteous, holy, with integrity, because while this is not what makes us blameless, it is what makes Him famous. So if you didn't write that down, you need to, because that's important. We need to live a life that is upright, that is righteous and holy. One that is riddled with integrity, because this is not what makes us blameless. It's what makes Him famous. That's exciting. Because the Bible tells us to make the name of God famous, to make His renown known. How Christians live their lives will either attract or repel people to God. That's just the truth. How you live your life, this is on you. How you live your life, it's on me. How I live my life will either attract people to God or repel them from Him. Now, we need not take this as lead a perfect life. And we also have to remember that, you know, our actions have an effect. Most people who are hostile towards God, think about this. Most people who are hostile towards God or to the gospel of Jesus Christ have had a bad experience with those claiming to follow Him. How you live matters. Doesn't mean you got to lead a perfect life, but we need to be careful how we live. We need to live a life that is worthy of the calling, as Paul describes in Ephesians 4:1. And look, I'm telling you right now, because I mess up, you're going to mess up. Nobody's perfect. But what do we do when we mess up? As a Christian, what do we do? If people are watching us, how do we respond? We're going to hurt people. We're going to misdirect people along the way. We're going to do things that aren't what would be considered a Christian would do. What we do after we do it, though, is what matters. How we respond to those mistakes makes all the difference. We need to go to those people and ask for forgiveness. Admit that we were wrong. Explain that we're sinners just like them, and the only difference between believers and unbelievers is we've accepted the gift of grace from God by believing in Jesus. It's the only difference. It's the only difference between believers and unbelievers. We've accepted the gift and they haven't. Living our life by using the wisdom God provides helps to keep us on the path to heaven, as found in Proverbs 15:24. The path of life leads upward for the wise to keep them from going down to the realm of the dead. The path of life is found in Jesus. And this proverb is not talking about hell here. It's more referring to wise decisions. Wise decisions in life to keep us from an early grave by doing stupid things. Think about that. I mean, there's all kinds of YouTube videos you can watch where people do stupid things and end up dying because they've done them. I mean, these guys that jump from building to building, I'm going, where is your head? Or balance on 1 foot 40 stories up. What are you doing? Or cling by one finger. I'm like, no, thank you. My hand's sweating thinking about that. Those who choose to live for God, their path does not have a constant uphill climb with many obstacles because they use wisdom as they make decisions. In fact, Isaiah 26:77 says this, that the path of the righteous is level. Level. You, God, the upright one, make the way of the righteous smooth. Look, no one likes driving or even walking on a rough road. It's uncomfortable at best. You hit the bumps, you're riding down the road, and you can't even think because it's so distracting. Right? I mean, that's what it is, right? But on a path like that, it's hard to even concentrate on anything other than, how am I going to get off of this road? Get me out of this lane. And that's the scheme of the enemy. That's the scheme of the enemy, to distract us along the journey, not allowing us to focus on God or what He had for us. Not only that, but the enemy likes to disguise the path. He likes to make it look smooth. Then, unlike God, he turns the lights out and we're forced to slow down. Think about that. The enemy kind of shines this light up the path. It looks good. Woo, look at that path. It looks smooth. And you're on it, you're on it, you're on it. Next thing you know, you crest the hill and it's dark. And you're like, whoa, what's down there? I can't see. I've gone down this path for so long and now I'm lost. I got to slow down just to even take a little step. Some even have to stop because the journey has gotten so difficult. Because the road is so rough. Because the path is riddled with thorns. Because there's no light to expose the path. And you stop. This is true for believers. They let the enemy creep into their walk. And he shuts down the path. He kind of redirects them over here. We just got back from Passion. And the days there seemed to fly. Like, you know, where did the time go? We were out the door here at 7 a.m. and usually we didn't get back until close to 12 a.m. Yeah. And it all happened in the blink of an eye. It was like, man, where did the day go? It was exhausting, but in a good way. And I'll tell you why it went so fast. Because our eyes weren't focused on the world. They were focused on God. We were worshiping. We were learning. We were in His Word. Our attention was drawn to Him. And our focus was on our relationship with Him. And the time just went. One day on the trip down to the conference, it took us 2 hours to get to D.C. 2 hours to get there. First, we were late. There was traffic, obviously. There was construction. There was no parking when we got there. Rode around the garage for 10 minutes looking for a parking space. Ended up parking in a handicapped spot that said, if you park here, you will be fined $100 to $500 and possibly towed. To what I wasn't too comfortable about, so I ended up finding a parking attendant to say, hey, you gave me a ticket, I want a parking spot. Find me one, which made me even later to the conference. It was so frustrating. The path was so challenging to get there. The enemy wanted to keep us. In fact, I didn't even want to get up and go that morning. I just didn't. I knew what it was going to be like. But can I tell you that once we got there, God provided us with the best seats we'd had the entire conference. I mean, literally, we walked in the door, went to where we wanted to sit. It was full. And just as we walk up, the next section opened up. And they're like, sit here. And we're like, awesome! That was great. It was crazy. And then, usually passion just gets you fired up because the speakers are absolutely amazing. And while they were okay the first couple days, that last day, that last speaker set our hearts afire. And it made everything worth it. It made all the trials, all the struggles of that moment worth it. See, God came to bring His presence to the world. That's the reality that we live with as Christians. That we are the display of God's presence to the world. And Zechariah knew this. In fact, if we look at a song that was recorded in Luke, these words that he wrote in Luke 1, verses 78 and 79, he says these words, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven. The rising sun is Jesus. To shine on those living in darkness. Whoa, there He is, bringing a light into the darkness, Jesus. And in the shadow of death, whoa, who conquers death? Jesus. And when we believe in Jesus, we can conquer death also. But I want you to notice, we're talking about a journey through the valley. We're talking about staying on a path, right? And the last part of what Zechariah said there, that Luke recorded, is that He's come to guide our feet into the path of peace. The path of peace. Jesus is the tender mercy of God. The tender mercy of God. Who was sent from heaven to bring light upon our dark path. To bring light into the journey that we're on. And can I just say this? We will never experience peace until not only do we accept Him, but allow Him to, look at that, guide us. He says He came to guide us. We're never going to experience peace until we allow Jesus to guide us. That's the only way to peace. So as we wrap up today, we need to recall, as Paul reminds us in Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2 and 8 through 20, as believers, we need to recall from where we have been brought from and how to both live and not live. Look at 1 Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. Follow God's example, therefore. Listen, follow God's example. Who did God give us as an example? Jesus. As dearly loved children. He's saying, I gave you Jesus because I dearly loved you. And walk in the way of love. Take the path of love. Live in love. Just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. So Paul's saying here, he's like, hey, I want you to take your life. I want you to lay it down. I want you to make it an offering to God. And I want you to do it out of love, because that's the way to the path. That's the way to live. We all have selfish desires. We all have things that we want from this life. There's things we want to do. There's movies we want to see. There's places we want to be. There's things we want to accomplish. But Paul says here, in order to walk the path that God has for us, we need to lay them all down. And above all else, we need to love. Remember, we started off with this, with the need to live as God lived, and to love as God loved. Remember, that's where we started, right in the beginning of our time today. And in order for us to keep on this path to love well, we got to look back. And that's what we're going to look at right now in Ephesians 5, 8 through 20. It's a lot of verses here, but I want you to think about what Paul's saying, because this is what propels us. This is what motivates us. This is what moves us along the path. This is why we do what we do as followers of Jesus. And he says these words, "For you were once in darkness." In fact, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Once you were dark, once you didn't bring light into things, you were the thing that blotted light out. But now that you've come to Christ, you are light in the Lord. So listen, live as children of the light. And find out what pleases the Lord. What you do matters. Find out what pleases the Lord. What you engage in matters. He goes on, he says, listen, I'm going to tell you what not to do too. He says, have nothing, say nothing, nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness. But rather, no, I want you to expose them. Now look, he just said that we were once in darkness. He's talking about deeds, but not only deeds, there are people who are living in darkness, and we are the light. We need to expose them to the light. He even goes on to say, it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything, look at that, everything exposed by the light becomes visible. And everything that is illuminated becomes light. So even the things that were dark, that are nasty, that shouldn't even be talked about in secret, he's saying, bring them to the light, and then we're going to talk about them, and they're going to be made light. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about your past life. He's talking about the sins you think are so ugly and so bad that you can't talk about. He's like, now bring them in the light, and then I'm going to show you the light through them. Think about that. People shame themselves because I'm so bad, I can't talk about that. God would be embarrassed. God's even embarrassed. No, no. That's not what he said there. He says, expose them to the light, and the light's going to illuminate them. He's going to use it, in other words. This is why it's said, he goes on, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Hey, don't remain where you were. Come out of the darkness. Wake up to what Christ can do in your life. Hear it, hear it, hear it. Don't just sit on it. Do it. And then he doesn't stop there. He says, be very careful. It's interesting that Paul could have just said, be careful. But he says, be very careful then how you live. In other words, think. Use wisdom. Consider the things that you're doing. He even goes on to say, don't be unwise, but be wise. And make the most of every opportunity. How many of you guys think this morning that this week you're going to have some opportunities to bring light into the darkness? Be wise and make use of every opportunity. Why? Because the days that we're living in are evil. They're evil. The enemy wants you to think that they're good. The enemy wants to think that we're in the best time ever. The stock market's going through the roof. Retirement funds are up. Woo! Man, the economy is growing. The job rate's up and the unemployment's down. Come on, we got it all. Do we? The days are evil. Oh, I'm happy that retirement funds are up. I am. But the days are evil. And he wants us to get so excited about what's happening in the world that we forget about God. He wants to take our eyes off of him. And he wants us to trust him and the things of this world. And that's not what we need to do. The days we live in are evil, and we have to remember that. We're talking about a path. We're talking about a valley. God's not saying that we're not going to go through challenging times. Listen, everyone in this room was at least living at the time of the recession, the 2008 crash, all that stuff just happened. It was horrible. It was bad. People were losing their jobs. They were losing their houses. The housing market fell out. It looked like the end of everything. And we were distraught. Hey, wait a minute. We're now in 2017, 2018, by the way, 10 years later. And the tides have changed again. God doesn't leave us in the valley. He takes us through the valley so that we can get close to him. More people turn to God because of the terror attacks where over 3,000 people lost their lives in 2001 than I'd say in history. The world, especially the United States, was turned on its ear because of the evil. But God didn't just leave it there. In fact, you know the church grew more in that time than any other time? In recent history, anyway? In recent history? In the United States? God uses the evil, the valleys, to direct us along his path. I mean, you can read the rest of this, 18 through 20. It's just telling you what not to do. Don't get drunk on wine, which leads you astray, leads to debauchery. Instead, he says, be filled with what? The Spirit, yeah. You know, and I would just add, not wine, but pleasures of the world. You could put any pleasure of the world in there because it presses down the Spirit. It doesn't make us dependent upon the Spirit. So don't just think wine. Wine makes me happy. Well, what makes you happy? What else makes you happy? Anything that makes you happy, if you're putting that in place of God, that's what he's saying. Don't put that there. Be filled. Put the Spirit in that place. If a friend makes you happy, fill it with the Spirit. If a video or a movie series makes you happy, fill it with the Spirit. If anybody's listening online that where drugs are making you happy, man, you need to fill it with the Spirit because there ain't no better drug than the Holy Spirit inside of you. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And what happens when we do that? Look. Sing. And make music from your heart to the Lord. Why? Because you are filled. You can't help but sing. Because listen, when you've got God in you, God's going to come out of you. And then we give thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. When we give thanks, even in the trials, even in the challenges, God takes us through the valley. He carries us down the path. Which way do you go? You go where God's going. That's the answer to the question. That's how we started. Which way do you go? Towards God. Follow the path of righteousness. Because that's the path that makes his name renowned. That's the path that not only lifts him up, but lifts you up. When you follow God, you're not alone. Now listen, I know I promised you we were going to be in John this week, but this is the introduction to that because we're going to see what happens when Jesus heads towards the valley. We're also going to see what happens to some of the guys in the story when they're headed towards the valley and the choices that they made and what happened in those. So if you're with us this week, that's awesome. Come back next week. You're going to want to be here, right? You're going to want to be here. And if you're listening, you're going to want to be here. You're going to want to be here next week. So you want to invite whoever needs this story. Because listen, the reality is that we're all going to go through a valley. The question is, how will we respond? How will we respond? So God, as we think about your story, we think about the journey that you've placed us on, the calling you've given us, the opportunities and the challenges. and the path that you've set before us. When we think about all those things, man, it can be almost overwhelming. But God, we know that you don't leave us there. We know that you can take even the craziest thing, even the roughest path, and smooth it over. In fact, the psalmist told us that you'll level out the paths that seem unlevel. We know that the enemy wants to scheme and misdirect us and show us that it looks like light, but it's really not light. We need to remember that. And as we do, help us to remember to call out to you in those times. To discern with wisdom the schemes of the enemy, and then to make you shine because of the choices we've made. Choices that show the righteousness of our lives and the integrity you called us to. And as we do, we make our lives look holy and we make you famous. That's what we desire, to lift you up. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.